All right, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, please, while I open us in prayer. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for the praise reports we have. I thank you, Lord God, that you're bringing forth the truth. I thank you, Lord God, for your word tonight, that we get to come to you and seek your face, that we get to come to you and hear your word, that we can come to you, Lord God, and open up our ear to hear your voice. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in us through our time together. And I ask that during the next few minutes, Lord God, that you would clear away all distractions. Clear them away, Lord God. Help us to focus on the message that you have for us tonight. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for your great love for us, that you are preparing us for the days ahead. Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher, be our guide, and impart all that you have for us tonight. In your precious name, amen. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 2 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Now, as I was praying over our service tonight, and I was praying, and I've really been seeking the Lord on this issue, on what is coming in the days ahead, on what we need to do to prepare. And I've been talking a lot about the manifestations of the sons of God, and I didn't read that scripture again in Romans because we've read it every single time we've come together for several weeks now. And so we probably have it memorized, which will be great, right? So I began praying about this and really seeking the Lord. And I said, "Lord, help us to prepare ourselves." The Lord has been speaking to me about the intercessors and the struggles that they're going through, the struggles they're facing day in and day out, the isolation they feel, the alienation they feel, and how they're pressing in even and not hearing the voice of the Lord. And I said, "Lord, what is this time? Because I know we are in the season of refining, and you're preparing us. You're preparing your sons. You're preparing us for the manifestation of the sons of God. So why are your people struggling today?" And he told me, he began to just kind of pour some things into me, and I'm going to share those with you tonight, and hopefully it gives us kind of a good picture of where we are today, where we're going, what Scripture has to say about it, and what we can do to prepare ourselves and to get through these barriers that we might be facing. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, when he says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, Peter's talking about a lot of judgments that he knows historically. He's a Jew. He knew what happened in the past. He knows what took place. He knows the judgments that fell. He knows what took place with Noah, what took place with Lot. We all know those stories. Those are some of the first Bible stories that we learned growing up, right? God created the heavens and the earth. There was Adam and Eve. And then we our next big one usually is Noah. Not long after that, we have Sodom and Gomorrah. And we hear the Bible stories when we grow up. And so he's talking to them about judgment. But see, this word making merchandise of you is really about turning the church into a place of business. That's what Peter's talking about. They are making merchandise of you. And that's his cry here. Judgment will come when we make merchandise of the people of God. You see, we know the unity movement is sweeping through our church right now. And we know that a sifting is taking place in the church right now. We know that God is allowing judgment to fall on the church because judgment has to come to the house of God before it can come into the earth, before it can be released in the earth. It must first come to the house of God and clean it up. He can't bring judgment across a nation. He can't bring judgment across the earth without first cleaning up his house, his church, his body. And that's what we see taking place in the unity movement today. Part of the sifting that's taking place. It's a shaking in the church. And we're going to see more and more shaking taking place in the church. Why? Because they're making merchandise. They're making a business of the church right now. If they're in there to make a profit off of the people of God. They're in there making a you know, we hear about pastors of the mega churches and such that have very, very large houses and they have quite a few cars. That's not why God calls us into ministry. God calls us into ministry because we are to expand the church. We are to expand the body of Christ. We are to get the gospel message out through the teachers, the prophets, the apostles. We are to get the gospel message out and save the lost and the dying of this earth. That's the purpose of the church in the earth. So when the church isn't doing its job, God, he gives them a season, and then he begins to lift his covering, and the shaking begins. And that's what we're seeing. That's why some, you know, I know a lot of people that have come out of the church, a lot of people that have, you know, I mean, by church, I'm talking about the church structure, sitting in the pews every single Sunday. They're coming out because they cannot find a church that is teaching the Word of God, that is teaching the purity of the Word of God, and their spirits are... I know someone who was going into church, and Sunday after Sunday, they found it was taking days for them to recover. Days to recover. Because of the anguish their spirit went through. I know people that go to church and they sit in the back and they just pray because that's their commission in this hour, to pray for that church, to pray for the salvation of the people sitting in those pews. You think, well, aren't they saved because they're in church? Not necessarily. And unfortunately, more often than not, people sitting in those pews do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But see, as we've talked over these last several weeks, we talked about the manifestation of the sons of God. And when they rise up in the purity and the holiness of God begins to pour out of them, these people are going to get saved left and right because they're going to see the true power of the living God pouring through his vessels. Where else do we see in Scripture where they're kind of making business of the house of God? 1 Samuel. Now, I've been reading through and studying the book of Samuel, and I think it's a very, very, it's a pivotal point in the nation of Israel. Because this is when Israel goes from seeking God for the answers, relying on God to speak to man, relying on God to bring forth his word into the nation through the prophets and the judges, to seeking a king on their throne. All the other nations have a king. Why can't we? And they tell Samuel, we want a king. We don't want any more judges. We want a king that we can go to. We want a king to rule over us. But here in Samuel, 1 Samuel, he was very young. We all know the story. Hannah goes and she's weeping in the temple, and her and her family, they're very devout. They go to the temple every single year and they do their sacrifice. There's Hannah, and then there's, you know, the other woman, the other wife, and she's got several children, and she kind of torments Hannah. And Hannah prays for a son, and she weeps for a son. Year after year, she's crying out, Lord, I want a son. In this particular time, she's there and she's crying out to God to give her a son. If you do, he will serve you all the days of his life, and a razor shall never touch his head. God knew she was a woman of her word and that she would keep her promise to him. And the priest, she cries out, you know, he accuses her of drinking a little bit. But she tells him what's going on, and he says, go your way, the Lord will grant you. He'll answer you. So the next time around, she doesn't come to the temple. Why? Because she has had her son. The promise of God has been fulfilled in her life. And Samuel's a young boy. She says, I'm going to stay here. You and the rest of the family go to the temple. You and the rest of the family go to the temple. And when the boy is weaned, I'm going to bring him there. And he will stay there forever, serving the Lord. I thought about that. You know, I've got 4 kids. I've got 6 grandkids. I can't even imagine what she went through. But she was a woman of her word. And she took this precious gift that opened up her womb, because God blessed her with many more children after this. And she gave God's gift to her back to him. And Samuel is left in the temple. Now, years go by. And here is little Samuel and Eli the priest. Now, the Bible tells us that he was getting up there in years, and his eyes had, you know, he'd become blind. And so here's Samuel, and he sleeps close to Eli because, you know, Eli's blind. Where's his sons? The Bible tells us that his sons are wicked. Wicked boys. Wicked men. And when the people of God would come to do their sacrifice, they would come and steal that meat. The meat was supposed to be offered up to the Lord, and after it was cooked and after the fat had been drained, they were to take a 3-pronged fork and they were to shove it into the meat, twist it, and bring it out, and that's what the priests would eat. That was their portion of this sacrifice given unto the Lord. But Eli's sons would go in before the meat is cooked, and they would go and they would steal this meat. They would take of the choice meat from the people of God. They were making a business out of the house of God. They were defiling the house of God. Stealing from the people. Stealing from God himself. Because that was an offering as unto the Lord. And so we move on into chapter 3. And Eli is sleeping. And Samuel, on his little pallet, he hears, Samuel. Samuel. And he wakes up and he runs. Eli, you called me? No. It wasn't me. Go back and lay down. Go back to sleep. Three times he calls him. And then Eli says, and I think about this. This man was a priest serving the house of God. How did he not know? Why did it take him three times before he figured that was the voice of the Lord calling to this young boy? No one else was in the house. Why did it take him three times? Is it possible Eli had not been hearing the voice of the Lord for some time by now? He says, if he calls you again, Samuel, say, yes, Lord, here am I. So on the third time, Samuel pops up. Yes, Lord, here am I. Now he was probably around 12 years old at this time. Here am I. And the Lord proceeds to release a judgment over the priest of the house through a 12-year-old boy. Because Eli had not corrected his sons. He allowed them to continue to make a business out of the house of God, and judgment is about to be passed on him and his son. I can imagine bringing a message like that to the man who had raised me for many years now. The struggle he went through. Eli says, may more be done to you if you don't tell me what the Lord told you. Finally, with great trepidation, Samuel tells him what the Lord told him. And Eli knows it's the word of the Lord. He knows it's the word of the Lord that's come forth through this young boy. He knows what he has done. He knows what he has allowed his sons to do. He knows that the house of God has been defiled and judgment has just been cast through this young boy. The Lord is about to bring judgment through the church. He's been patient. He's been waiting. He's been longing for his body to rise up and take her place. Meanwhile, he's pulling out his children. He's kept some in their seats, and he's pulling out his children. And he's calling them out into the wilderness. And he says, come to me. Come to me and seek my face, because I'm going to speak to you. Set yourself aside and seek my face, because I'm speaking to you in this hour. I need to refine you. I need to get the stuff that might have been put in you through your presence there. I need to get it out of you, and I need to bring you into a place where your reliance is on me. And when I call your name, when I whisper your name in the night season, you will rise and say, Lord, here am I. What is it, Lord? And you will go and you will do as the Lord has commanded you. You know, when they made the tabernacle in the desert, when it was constructed, the tent in the desert, it was built outside the camp. I talked to you guys about that several weeks ago. It took 9 months for the tabernacle. We read about its construction for about seven chapters in the book of Exodus. And Moses constructs this temple. He calls upon the people to do this. And when Moses goes out to the temple, he goes outside. Exodus 33:7 says he goes outside the camp to the house of the Lord and seeks God. And the people step outside their tents and they look outside the camp. And the cloud of the Lord descends on the tabernacle. Why? Because it's away from the busyness of life. It's away from the busyness and the corruption that we see in our churches. It's away into a solitary place where you can go and the presence of God can fall upon you and speak to you and deposit wisdom and knowledge and insight into your spirit man and prepare you for the days ahead. Do you know what the word church means? Let's look at a scripture. Ephesians 3:9. Let's look at 3:9 and 10. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now into the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That word church means to call out from and into God. Call it out from the world and into God. Why? So he can deposit the manifold wisdom of God into their lives. Call them out and into God. If you feel like you're alienated and you're sitting alone out in the field, in the wilderness, that is where God has you in this hour. Why? So that he can deposit the manifold wisdom of God into your life. The manifold wisdom of God in your life. We are coming to days that will not be easy. People around you will be afraid because they won't know what's going on. But you will have the manifold wisdom of God deposited in you, and the glory of the Lord will flow through you into their lives and begin to transform them. When they need peace and safety and comfort, they are going to know who to come to. Why? Because you are going to be the light on their street. You are going to be the one that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking through. They're going to feel your presence. Because the Spirit of God emanates from you. So if you're out in that wilderness, it's because God called you out and up into Him. Him. So that the glory of the Lord can fall down on you and impart Himself into you. It is a beautiful thing that he's doing in this hour. It is a beautiful thing that he's doing in this hour, preparing us to enter into, to step into him. I talked about this weeks ago. We are being made ready to step into Christ. Into him, where we are so immersed in him. He is what emanates from us. He is what emanates from us. Who will be the church of God? We will be the church of God. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. He tells us where to go, when to go, what to do. His thoughts are our commands. His thoughts are our commands. Because we are being made ready and being finely tuned into an instrument usable by Him. The greatest symphony you have ever heard is what's going to be birthed in the church in the days ahead. The greatest symphony you've ever heard is what will be birthed in the church in the days ahead. There will be a unity in the Spirit. And I'm not talking about that unity movement. You ought to know that by now. I'm talking about a unity in the Spirit. Are your ears in tune with His voice? Are you sitting in your quiet place, receiving the word of the Lord? I talked to someone not too long ago who said, I feel like the enemy is stealing my time. I go to spend time with the Lord. I don't understand it. I get up early. Things interfere. They interfere. I go to bed early. I try to go to bed early. Interference is coming forth. I said, take your time back. The enemy's done that to me. I'm sure there can be many on this line. The enemy has done that to you. You get up and you think, oh, a call comes through. The dog has to go out. Your coffee maker's jammed. That could be a tragedy in my house, by the way. The coffee maker's jammed. Spend 20 minutes just trying to get some water out of it that's hot enough to make your coffee with. I've been there. I said, take your time back. He wants to disrupt your day, you disrupt his. You pray where you are. You put the word of God in your ear and you speak it. Wherever you go, you have it. You pour more word into you while you were going about your day than you would have if you had your hour sitting there in the quiet place. Take back your time because the enemy doesn't want you to fight for it. Rise up and fight. Fight for what's yours. What is yours? The word of God is yours. He is creating in you a body. The head is coming to the body where He will deposit the manifold wisdom of God in us. Why? To prepare us for the glory of the Lord. Press in to it. Take it back. Take it back. You go to your prayer closet, and maybe you're there for 2 hours, and you say, He's not speaking to me. He's speaking to your spirit, man, and making it ready. Don't give up. Don't give up your time. Press in, press in, press in. Press in to Him and let Him deposit in you because you represent the church God is creating in this hour. We are to be a sweet-smelling fragrance unto the Lord. We make sacrifices in our life. We make sacrifices of our sleep. We fast. We pray. We give our money to the work of the Lord. We make sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Yes, we do. Why? Because our lives are sweet-smelling sacrifice unto the Lord. Our life is not our own. We are vessels, vessels of the King, vessels waiting for His presence, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to come through us down into us and out into the earth. It's coming. It's coming. Don't give up. Don't stop fighting. Press, 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 press in. You are not alone. I can promise you there's plenty of us out there in the wilderness, sitting in the tabernacle, waiting for the glory of the Lord to fall upon us. I'll never forget one of the first times I taught on our PCL training call. That's our Joel's Army Prayer Cell Leader Call. If you're not a member of Joel's Army, there's my little plug for Joel's Army. If you're not a member for Joel's Army, this is an opportunity for you to come and join up with like-minded intercessors. You get training twice a month. We send you material to help you grow and develop as an intercessor. We sow into your lives to prepare you. This is the season of the intercessor, you know. We got to get ready. So I was doing a training on our PCL training call. And the Lord had me speak on the Psalms 91. And he began to, I studied it. I just studied Psalms 91. And I said, okay, Lord, so how is this going to go? And he said, you've studied, you're ready. I said, okay, so how's this going to go? You know, just, you know, what do you, what? He said, you've studied. You're ready. So just spent time worshiping him. And when the time came, I began to speak on Psalms 91. And the truth about Psalms 91, and we encourage you to pray this over your families every day. We pray it over you every day. It's very important. And I also recommend Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God every day. But I was teaching on it. And while I was teaching on it, and I teach from my room, and I move a lot when I teach. Those of you who have seen me, you know that. But so I was teaching, and I was sharing on the covering, under the shadow of the Almighty. Under his wings shall we touch. I mean, shall we rest, and shall we trust. And I felt his presence come into my room. It was a cloud as he descended into my room. And I couldn't move. Under his wing shalt thou trust. If we're going to be under the wing of the Almighty, we're going to have to be very close to him. I could feel the warmth of the Lord against my shoulder. I felt the cloud of the Lord come in. And I couldn't move. I just stood there as I poured out the message the Lord had given me. If we want the Psalm 91 covering, we need to press into him, because if we're going to be close enough to feel the warmth of his chest against our shoulder, we've got to be separate from the world and press into him. So when I was done, and it was very warm here, very warm in my room, and when I was finished and I handed it back over to Ken and Debbie Clark, and I went to move away from, you know, where I was standing in the middle of my room, and I felt the temperature change. The further I got from the cloud, I felt it get cooler in my room, because I had entered into him, and I allowed him to pour through me, and by doing so, his presence came and rested here. all around me. Every sense that happens, every sense the first time that happened, that is what I seek when I teach. I seek His presence. I want His cloud to envelope me so that He can deposit within me the manifold wisdom of God, and it can flow. I can't do this on my own. If I try to do this and I try to do the preparations on my own, I kind of jumble around and make a mess of it. I need Him to come. I need Him to give me the wisdom, to give me the understanding, to give me the knowledge. I need it from Him. Because it's His wisdom that will carry us through. It's His knowledge that will keep us safe. It's Him. It's Him. So I go outside the camp, like Moses did, and I enter the tabernacle, that I might enter into His presence. I don't always have all the words, but if I'll be faithful, He'll give them to me. I can tell you, I have a lot of notes. I do a lot of scripture prep, and I'll give you a fraction of those, because His Spirit comes and brings out what it is He wants shared during this session. You know, you think about it in the book of Acts. We read time and time again how the Spirit came upon them and they spoke like learned men. Stephen, the first martyr. You know, they didn't expect him to rise up and speak like a scholar. That was the Holy Spirit who had done that. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and the word of the Lord came out. We're intercessors. We pray. We seek Him. But when we're needed, if we will seek His face and avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit, He will pour His word out of us, because that is how He works. He is faithful to His faithful. He is faithful to His faithful. So if you are out in the wilderness, make sure you're in the tabernacle and ask Him to send His cloud down upon you, that you might feel His presence enveloping you. He will grant it, because He is faithful. He is faithful. Samuel delivered the word, trembling as he was, to Eli. Eli knew it was a just word. That word did not come to pass for many years. But when it did, all knew. The word of the Lord had come through Samuel. The word of the Lord had come through him, and judgment fell on the house. That day, Eli, his sons, his daughter-in-law, they all died the same day, because they defiled the house of the Lord. And Samuel was protected. Because he stayed in the tabernacle, in the presence of the Lord. Press in. Press in. The manifestation of the sons of God is coming. Press in. Press in. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for these intercessors. I thank you, Lord God, for every person that is on this line, every person that will listen later to the recording on the internet, on the website, Lord God. I just pray. I pray for them, Lord God. I pray for them, Lord God, that you would call them up and out and into you. Up and out of the world and into you. That you might deposit in them the manifold wisdom of God. That they would feel your presence. They would feel your glory, Lord God, surrounding them. That they would feel a tangible presence of you, O God, as they press in and press in and press in. Let them know, Lord God, they are exactly where you want them. A place of quiet, of solitude, where you can speak to them. Where they can hear the small whisper of your voice calling them in the night. Just as Samuel did. Let them hear your voice, O God. As they press into you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for the preparations you're doing in our lives. I thank you that you're drawing us into your presence, that you're drawing us into you, to greater intimacy, to a greater knowing, a greater understanding, greater deposits of you in our lives. I thank you, Lord. I give you praise. Praise. Praise for what you're doing, Lord. In your precious and most holy name.